Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Look for Martha Norwalk's Animal World. Check out all the great videos, photos, stories about animals. And gosh, it is the fourth Sunday of a five Sunday month, so it's another behavior training teaching show with me. Walter Stoffel is here, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. Nathan Miller's here taking care of everything and helping us break down these behavior cases and chat with me about all of this stuff. And we have been talking about someone that contacted Walter through his website, which is Walter Stoffel, and it's Stoffel, that's right. Two F's and one L, right? Yeah.
That's correct.
Stoffel, Walter Stoffel, author.com. And he's got a pile of emails from people, and this is the first one, and a really interesting case and serious one because it's seriously affecting these people's lives. And but the good news is that this kind of a situation, this kind of a problem with a dog, is definitely resolvable. Now, not in the way that we sometimes think. You know, he is a Pekingese. We can't change that. I can't wave my magic wand and make him a golden retriever. He's probably a poorly bred Pekingese from what we can determine, and you know, an ongoing problem of biting everybody, you know, all strangers coming into the house and so forth, for his lifetime. Anyway, I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants here because I don't have enough details to be super intelligent and absolute about this stuff. But, you know, I've dealt with so many of these cases that this one is fairly cut and dried for me as a behaviorist therapist and what I see. And I talked about that if they were out here, I could, of course, you know, do a private session, and that's where I would start. I talked about early on that if with a dog like this that's this volatile, you can have professionals deal with them. However, you got to be real careful who they are. They really got to know what they're doing. Out here, we have the people that I grew up in the world of dogs with and who started this whole thing with me. They have a great facility and do the board and train work, but I can't guarantee that everyone others in the country have their expertise. So that's a downside there. But now it would be different if this dog were, you know, like a Saint Bernard, you know, who could really kill somebody. When you're in a Pekingese suit, you know, it's a relatively little dog, and yeah, bite hurts and they can do some damage, but they can't really kill anybody. So they often don't get as much attention, and it's not as difficult a situation to deal with when you've got a smaller dog involved. But the big, once everything else is taken care of that we talked about, the big thing is cutting this dog's freedom off. Too much freedom too quickly is the big problem. Unlikely that this dog has a clue that everybody wants to be quiet and not bite because of the way we handle it. They start barking, we start yelling. They think you're just barking along with them. And so the what I talked about in terms of having the dog with a snug collar on, a leash, so they can't get away from you, and the training tool, we start with the magic penny can and the four-step correctional teaching sequence for barking, or leave it depending on whether there's barking involved when he goes after people. And that would be the first step in starting to curb that behavior. We'd also have the people coming in on ignore, which means no touch, no talk, no eye contact. They don't look at him. They don't acknowledge him. Pretend he's not there. That takes the pressure off the dog and gives them a chance to start relaxing about people. The worst offenders with a dog like this is, oh, I love dogs. Dogs love me. He won't bite me. Come here, you little cutie. And then they, you know, go after the dog and those people get bit. But so you want people ignoring the dog. And that would continue for some time. Whether or not we could turn this dog around and make him more social, that he was really interested in meeting people, we don't know. Because that would all depend on, you know, how much time and effort and money and so forth that, you know, Kathy and husband would want to put into the case. excuse me. But did for Walter and Nathan, what we talked about just before the end of the hour and dealing, you know, having one of them have the dog and the leash and the training tool and shutting down, nipping it in the bud, shutting the first bark or first step towards the stranger, they shut that down. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
It definitely did. I remember this. It's all coming back to me.
Excellent. Excellent.
Some of these things just need a little bit more of a push to remember that, because we're going through these, it's like we all have dogs and we all have like something in particular with our dog that we really want to pay attention to. So we kind of hone in on those things and take more of our brain power to remember those things. So,
right.
You know, but I do thoroughly remember them. It's just, you know, what I've been focusing on and like what stuck out to me
was
is like the stuff
on
that
kind of
comes, like a four-step, you know, teaching thing. I mean, that was something that was really good for Abby because she's really distracted. So I remember that really well. But it's just like some things like the prevent and avoid. I haven't had like a chance really to do that or experience it. And like I have no knowledge of Pekingese because I don't know anybody that has a
Pekingese.
Well,
so we know going into this that he's a Pekingese, and Pekingese are biters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, not all of them. You get, you know, there's exceptions, you know, and they're sweeter. And of course, the hope is in all the breeding that's been done over the years that they try to breed that biting stuff out of them. But, you know, you look at the, you don't want to dwell on that and think of them as biters, but you also, you know, if you come to me and say you want a small, friendly, you know, social dog, Pekingese would not be on the list. So how far we could go with him and turn it around, we don't really know. But I'm blown away still after all these years sometimes in how immediately a problem can be resolved or turn around in a situation like this when we're dealing with a dog that really doesn't know what they're doing is wrong. Remember the Shih Tzu I told you about, the 10-year-old, you know, that had been barking like a banshee its whole life. And this, the it ruled their whole world, this couple that they lived with. The dog had to be out in the car to have people over. But in the summertime, it's too hot to put the dog in the car, so they couldn't have any visitors around. They couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything. I mean, just telling the dog in a way the dog could understand that barking is wrong was all it took. And then praising it, give it some reward for being quiet more than a little bit. I mean, from the day, 5 minutes after I walked in the house, the problem with that dog was resolved permanently. Now, you know, they had to practice and generalize a bit. But so we don't know with Chewy. It might be, you know, if Kathy got together and she understood what we're talking about and got her training tool and set this up, it might be, you know, that first shake, he goes, yikes! And she says, no, be quiet. And then good quiet. That's a good quiet. And he's like, really? Oh, you know, and we could have a totally awakening with this dog. And no, not that he's going to be a social butterfly immediately. But once you have a training tool that works and you can break through, then when you know how to keep them honed in and don't give that freedom back too soon, it's a gradual process. You can make progress very, very quickly with this. So leaving him in the bedroom when people are around is a way to prevent and avoid, and is okay when you choose not to deal with it. But you got to have a lot of times where you're actually having people around and you got him leashed to you, umbilical corded with your training tool, and you're teaching him to leave people alone and not bark or lunge at them. Now, another little trick that you could do once you get, you know, I'm a fan of step one and step two, especially when it comes to barking, going after people. Step one is control the behavior. Stop the problem behavior and control it. Step two is change the way they feel about whatever they're going after or barking. So once you had an opportunity to work with him at the door and people coming, and so now when people come, you have him dragging the, and I would have this guy, their umbilical cording can be great, and he's attached to you a lot of all the time to start with. The second step is then just letting him drag the leash around, because that is easy to step on and get a hold of. And I think he's probably going to have to drag, be umbilical corded or dragging a leash for some time to come until we stop him from going after the cats. Okay. Because it is not fair to those cats to let this dog harass them. And he can learn the impulse control to not go after the cats. He doesn't have to be friends with them, but he can't go after them. Now, usually once you take the chase out of him, you stop that. They usually make friends, and, you know, dogs and cats can be great friends once you know, they have the opportunity to do that. But he should drag the leash around, and then he'd have to go. Sometimes you then make the leash shorter and shorter, so they're not dragging such a long leash, and then eventually they earn the freedom to live without it. Now, you don't leave leashes on them when they're not supervised, you know, or you're gone, but when you're around, he should always have the leash on and be attached, or at least dragging the leash. Now, the little trick I was going to say, one thing that they could do, I would first address the barking and lunging at the door stuff, get that shut down. And then you could add a little treat jar on the front porch. You could put fresh little pieces of string cheese in there if you like the cheese idea, or just a little dog treat that's okay for Chewy to have. And then what you tell your visitors, if they come to the door, they each take out a little treat. And then when they come in, they are still on ignore. They don't look at him. They don't say anything to him. They don't try to touch or pet him. They just walk in and toss him a treat and then go on about your business. And he's still being supervised with the owners. But remember, I told you with dogs, they're pretty simple minded, like little kids, and he got the right sales pitch. You can convince him of just about anything. So most dogs assume that people coming to the door they don't know are intruders and they're bad and we should, you know, bite them and chase them away. Well, but if we have the people ignore, you teach them that barking at them and going after them is wrong. We have the people ignore, so there's no pressure on the dog. Then they come in and toss a treat. Well, that gives the dog a chance to change their whole attitude. And pretty soon it's like, oh, I always thought these people were bad. I should chase them away. Now they come over. Mom says they're friends. They bring treats. Hey, people, come in the door more often. So we'd want to start that ritual of everybody that comes in grabs a treat and tosses it to Chewy, you know, as they're coming in the house. Well, then Chewy's attitude can completely change and he can look forward to people coming in and the treat rather than trying to bite him and make him go away. Does that make sense?
I'm just curious about jolly routines. I mean, this is a form of a jolly routine, but, common...
Well, that's a good call because I have that written down here.
Yeah.
Now, the two things that they would need to teach, well, two of the things they'd need to teach, Chewy, one would be the friends exercise. Remember that licking the hand or the face of humans is the friendliest, most submissive greeting a dog can show to you. So if by chance Chewy licks them at all, If he licks their hands, they could automatically praise him with good friends. That's it, good friends. Now then, I told you you can turn it into an exercise. You cook something, you have some juice, some fat, or some grease left over. You could use a little bit of butter or coconut oil. Put some on the back of your hand, call the dog over, put your hand out, and as they lick the back of your hand, praise them with good friends. Good, good friends. Now, you can put some on your cheek and let them lick your cheek. Good friends, good friends. You don't have to do the cheek. You can do just the hand. But you want to practice that a little while just to give the dog the association that the word friends, it means submissive greeting. So the word friends is how they would alert their dog. So when someone's at the door or they know, you know, if the dog's not barking or going after, then they can say, oh, boy, friend's coming, friend's at the door. And once you say friends, then no barking or growling or biting is allowed. So first peep out of him, you'd shut him down with the correctional sequence and then bring him back. Oh, boy, it's a friend. Lighten up. It's a friend. Good friend sort of thing. Now, the jolly routine, Nathan, that is designed, that's a specific word or phrase that you teach the dog that when you say it, it automatically makes them think of something fabulous. Now, a jolly routine is something definitely that they should teach Chewy. I think all dogs need a jolly routine, but definitely a biting dog, because the jolly routine in the long run is your emergency push button. So remember, you practice specific jolly routines. You correlate the main jolly routine with a high value food reward that they only get in relationship with the jolly routine. You practice when the dog's not expecting anything. You start by getting the word or the phrases out. You want them to cue on the word or the phrase, not the food or getting the food. I like, oh boy, something, oh boy, cheese, oh boy, chicken, oh boy, hot dog, oh boy, bacon. You just start saying the word, oh boy, bacon, oh boy, bacon, oh boy, bacon, woohoo, oh boy, bacon. Then get up, get keep up the oh boy, bacon, and 2 to 3 minutes of oh boy, jolly routine, getting the dog all pumped up. Then you stop, out of your pocket, they get a piece of bacon, or into the kitchen you go, they get a piece of bacon, you're done. And you get to the point where all you have to say is, oh boy, bacon, or oh boy, hot dog, whatever it is. And dog immediately is, woo, I'm ready, where do we go? So remember, I told you stories of how to use that emergency push button. But in this case, with a Chewy type situation dog that bites like this, you'd want your jolly routine laid in. Well, A, you can use it to tweak behavior and change the way they feel about things and so forth. But number one, it would be their emergency push button. Because say they worked with Chewy for a while and they got the barking and the lunging totally shut down. He doesn't go after people at the door anymore when they come in. Now, maybe he's not, you know, a love bug friendly, but, you know, he comes and anticipates a treat, but, you know, not pets or so forth, and hangs out with everybody. And you know, he's a decent dog around people now. He just ignores them and chances are he'd be the kind of dog that, well, we just, you know, leave Chewy alone. You can talk to our female Pekingese, but leave Chewy alone. But anyway, there shouldn't be any reason why the barking and lunging shouldn't be able to be quickly shut down and brought under control. But then we got to keep in mind, in the back of your mind, that with an adult dog, it takes a minimum of 6 weeks to solidly extinguish bad behavior, replace with new. And most people aren't consistent enough to do that. And with Chewy, it would probably be at least 6 months. They'd be on a real regimented program and with all of this and supervising and making sure these patterns get set. But let's assume they go through all of that and we get Chewy pretty, you know, settled down for what we can do. And he doesn't bark and lunge and bite people anymore. Say we've, worked with him and taught him that chasing the cats are bad and that he's to ignore the cats and all of that's going well. So things are doing okay, and we've got an easier way to live with Chewy now. Then what often happens, see, then the humans start to relax and not pay so much attention. and not be so regimented. So the jolly routine comes into play that we're on down the line and things have been good for a while, but we've got some people around in the house, and then maybe out of the corner of your eye, or you look and you see in the other room and there's Chewy cornered and the kids going in, or somebody's getting ready or doing something around Chewy that you know might go south and he could bite if he's pushed any further, but you're not close enough to calmly intervene and stop it. That's when you'd hit the jolly routine. You know, oh boy, hot dog, oh boy, hot dog, or oh boy, bacon, oh boy, and Chewy, oh boy, you get Chewy comes running for the jolly routine. See, the jolly routine you'd want in place to be an emergency push button down the line for Chewy. Does that make sense?
I mean, my thought process, what I'm thinking of is like when somebody comes to the door and rings the doorbell, I mean, you have almost like an instant need for a emergency push button because, you know, the dog or the doorbell rings. And the dog goes from 0 to 1,000 and instantly like somebody's at my door. I don't know who it is. I need to defend my den or territory. Right. So it almost is like, you know, ding dong. And then dog is immediately up and going. And then that's, you know, you got to be fast and jolly routine. Hit that.
But that's
push.
Not the time to use a jolly routine.
Oh, interesting.
Did you hear? I heard the jolly routine is an emergency push button.
Mm hmm.
When somebody comes to the door, the dog is to be unleashed, on leash, attached to the owner, and they have a training tool. So they're teaching the dog not to bark.
So you would not use a jolly when the doorbell rings?
No.
Oh.
No. That's a shake, no, be quiet. Good quiet. That's a good quiet. First step is control and stop the problem. You know, stop and control the problem. So a jolly routine would be the dog, people are already in, you know, and everything's fine. But, you know, somebody starts doing something around the dog that might cause a problem and you're not close enough. You know, somehow he's not on the leash attached to you anymore. Or that's what I'm saying. This is usually the need comes in after the problems have been, controlled. And we're relaxing and letting the dog interact more. And then something starts to go down when we're not right close to the dog. Then you would trigger out. You wouldn't wait for the dog to bark or to lunge. You'd trigger out with a jolly routine before it ever got to that point.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, just kind of differentiating.
One's preventative
needs.
And one's a cure.
Right. All right, looking at the clock, and we better catch up with advertisers, right?
We are at that time.
Okay. All right. So we'll take care of advertisers. So stay right where you are. We will come back and continue more behavior training and stuff straight ahead right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Do you feel overwhelmed by the people around you or the energies you encounter daily in today's world? When the drama and the emotions wear you down, it's important to have the tools to deal with the challenges life is bringing your way. And that's where Natasha Venter can help. Natasha is a medium and an intuitive personal awareness coach who is inspired to help those walking through the emotions and grief of today's energies. Visit Natasha's website, angelicclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and compassionate approach can help. That's angelicclarifications.com. There's no need to carry the load by yourself. Learn more at angelicclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Wondering what's on next on Alternative Talk 1150? Check out 1150kknw.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are midway through the last hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Let's see, we heard from our wonderful New Pro Supplements, N-U-P, as in Peter, R-O, supplements.com. Check them out. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. Best cat vitamins. They're so tasty, and I use them to get cats picky cats to eat. They're called New Pro Nuggets. And the dog supplement is fabulous. Produces the best coats and skin, and Abby's on it and doing great, and a lot of us have our dogs on the New Pro Supplements. So newprosupplements.com. And Natasha Venter, our medium, animal intuitive, and personal awareness coach. You can check her out at angelicclarifications.com, angelicclarifications.com. She's available for private readings on the phone or in person or by Zoom, whatever. She also does two podcasts every week at 4 o'clock on Monday and Wednesdays. And so you can go to YouTube and search Natasha Venter, Angelic Clarifications, and you can listen to her podcasts at 4 p.m. on Mondays and Wednesdays. Okay, then. And of course, you do something wonderful, humans, animals, or the planet we live on. Come join our Animal World family of advertisers. And if you're interested, just shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Okay, Walter Stauffel is here, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. Nathan is here, and we've been breaking down this case of Chewy, the probably genetically inferior, poorly bred Pekingese, who is biting everybody in the sun. He's on his fourth home in 4 years, and we're talking about how to get these problems under control. Now, let's see, we talked about, yes, they would have to teach the friends exercise, teach the jolly routine. The first problem is too much freedom, so we've got to cut down on that. I would get, if he was crate trained at any point, I would re-up on the crate, because I'd use that for timeouts. I'd also use, you know, especially timeouts for going after the cats. And I would use it for preventing and avoiding, if necessary, with the cats especially. Now, another thing they had on the list of problems, Walter and Nathan, sounds like when they're outside, he wants to chase trucks, motorcycles, trains, bicycles, joggers. So do you know what to do about that?
I instantly comes to mind that four-step correctional, you know.
You got it. You got it. You got to get out there around trucks and trains and motorcycles and bicycles and joggers. Now, part of the problem is the noise. They don't like the noise. They, you know, their ears are more sensitive than we are. They just have to learn that, you know, it's not the end of the world. And we make some positive associations. But a lot of it, you know, the joggers, the bicycles, you know, that kind of stuff, a lot of it is because, you know, they're always moving fast. And dogs have a chase instinct. So when something's moving, that triggers a chase instinct, the desire to chase after it. sometimes to just chase after it, sometimes to chase and nip at it, sometimes to chase and grab it and stop it. Depends on how long how long is the sequence in that particular dog. Some breeds have a full chase instinct leading to grab, chase, shake, kill, and some don't. It the sequence doesn't go that far. So it depends on the breed and the individual. But first step would be we need the dog fairly well-mannered on leash that he walks without pulling. Okay. So the first step is probably, and what is usually the case with dogs like this, it's like, well, if there's nothing going on, they walk fine on the leash, you know, but a dog or a bike or a car or a train or anything shows up, then they go crazy and want to bark and chase after them. So, we get the leash manners under control, then out we go walking. And I say, you know, with dogs, especially ones you're working with, young ones or ones that have problems you're working with, you don't go anywhere without your training treats. You know, I use string cheese and a training tool, which would be your penny can. And remember, we talked about all kinds of different training tools. The penny can is the first choice because it works with the most dogs, but it isn't always perfect for everybody. So it could be the pet corrector or the screecher or the vinegar water squirt. There's lots of other training tools that could be used if the penny can isn't the right one. Hopefully it is in Chewy's case here. And so the best thing and a way to deal with this is we'd go out with Chewy on leash and go look for trouble. Go to a road that's fairly busy where you get this kind of stuff going on. And then you just park yourself somewhere along the road. You have your treats and your training tool. And the first step is to shut down the bad behavior. Interrupt and stop the bad behavior. So one of something like that goes by, if he wants to chase after it, that's an out comes your penny can, shake. You know, if he's just chasing, it's a no, leave it, shake, good, leave it. If he's barking, then I usually use the training tool first to interrupt the barking, shake, no, be quiet. So the first step would be get him out, get him around this stuff and stop, correct the behavior and stop it. Does that make sense? All right.
Yes.
Now, so then what do we do after we get the barking or the lunging at the things? When we get that under control, he's not lunging anymore. Then what do?
You praise the good behavior.
Well, we change the way he feels about stuff he's lunging at. Yeah, you do praise the good behavior, of course, once you've got that under control. It's a good quiet or a good leave it. But now we've got him so he won't lunge at the trains and the bikes and the motorcycles anymore. But he may not be wild about him. So that's where you park yourself close to where these things go by. And then you have your little string cheese or your treats in your pocket. And here comes a bicycle guy. Okay. Oh boy, it's a bicycle. Oh boy, friends, you get cheese. Oh boy, bicycle. Oh boy, cheese. Remember, a food reward to be effective only needs to be large enough to taste, so you can be peeling teeny little pieces of cheese off to him. Oh boy, friends, it's a bicycle. Oh boy, cheese. Oh boy. As soon as the bike's gone, no more cheese. Here comes the next one. Oh boy, here comes a bicycle. Oh boy, friends. Oh boy, cheese. So you got a child. Oh boy. As soon as they're gone, no more cheese. Here comes the next one. Oh boy, cheese. Well, you know, dogs anticipate, won't be very long before I always thought this stuff was terrible. I should chase it away. Mom says it's good. I get cheese. Hey, bicycles, ride by me all the time. Hey, trains, drive by all the time. You know, hey, cart, whatever it is. You see, so step one is interrupt and control the behavior, teach the dog it's wrong, and stop it. Step two, change the way they feel about what they were going after in the first place. Does that make sense?
Martha, can I interject?
Totally.
I could see the dog starting to eye cars and then immediately look at you and say, okay, where's my cheese?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yep. Now, so that's a good point, because that brings up, remember the importance of the random food reward. It's the strongest way of strengthening canine behavior. So while you're in the process of changing the way this dog feels about passersby, bicycles, you know, cars, trucks, whatever, no boy cheese all the way through. Once you get that process done, so he's like, oh, bicycles, cheese. Oh, truck, cheese. Oh, I get cheese. And he's made that association. Then you make the food reward random every other time, every three times, once in a while when a bike goes by, once in a while a truck, once in a while you give a treat. That then it's always they hold the feeling that it's a good thing and it's always worth behaving correctly because it might be the time I get paid or get the reward. So just remember you do it every time while you're changing the way they feel about stuff and then you make it random. Does that work for everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
All right. So I think it looks like we better take care of advertisers again before we run out of time. And then I'll do a real quick current events when we come back. So nothing new. I'll just remind you what's on current events. And then we'll talk a little more about this and maybe a titch about Lance, you know, because well, that's the next place we would go is talking, you know, about Lance's situation and then and now and all that good stuff. So everybody stay right where you are. Animal World continues. More behavior training coming up right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com. Now.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Get inspired every hour right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And remember, our premier sound healer is in business Whispering Dragon Center is now in Jude's home in Shoreline. Great location. Fabulous, fabulous healing energy where it is now. She can work with you in person or remotely or over the phone. And you can check her out at whispering-dragon.com, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook. And go there and find her latest video, sound healing video for the Lunar New Year. She's just posted. And if you'd like to schedule in person or remotely, just give her a call, 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. Now also Dr. Nils Rasmussen. He's our neuroenergetic balancer, the Rasmussen Reset creator, and does the wonderful healing work for physical stuff as well as behavioral and emotional stuff, and can really help with dogs like Chewy in getting their nervous systems unstuck and so that they can better deal with these situations. You can reach him through his website, healingministryforanimals.com, healingministryforanimals.com. And if you're smart, you'll take advantage of this. You've got to get it scheduled before the end of the year to get the freebie, but he's offering a free Zoom session with any of you that call and say, hey, I heard Martha and want a free Zoom session. He will set up a free session for you and your animal friend and teach you about the neuroenergetic balancing, and you get a free treatments for your dog friend or pet friend, and learn how to do this. And it's a $200 or $300 value. So he's really given away a big deal. But like I said, you got to contact him before the end of the month. So you do that at healingministryforanimals.com. Click on the contact link and fill out the form and say, hey, I want the free Zoom session. Take advantage of it. Okie dokie then. So coming back here, yes, we better sneak in current events. Okay, now if you want all the details and the links to all of these events and things, go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com, and click on current events. Got Linda Rasmussen offering the free session. You know to just give her a call or text her at 206-841-1992. You know about Natasha and her podcast tomorrow and Wednesday at 4 p.m. Natasha Venter on Facebook or on YouTube will get you to her YouTube channel and podcasts. Then the Northwest Stream Center up at McCollum Park, South Everett, is alive and well and all kinds of great things scheduled. The White Birds of Winter presentation by biologist Martha Jordan is on the calendar for Thursday, February 2nd at 7 p.m. Fabulous presentation if you want to learn about all the swans and the white birds that hang out around here. Kids Nature Journal will happen in February or March, so I'll let you know when they get that scheduled. All About Bears coming up in March. Ghastly Gourmet with the turkey vulture that Barbara Ogard brings from Sarvey. That's going to be April 1st, 1 p.m. All About Beavers will come up sometime after that. And Cougars that will be presented by the Department of Fish and Wildlife May 18th. 7 p.m. and All About Bats with Barbara Ogard October 13th at 7 p.m. Seattle Humane's annual Tuxes and Tails is coming up May 13th for 2023. It will be again at the Magnuson Park Hangar 30. And remember, the great backyard bird count is just around the corner. It's next month. And you want to gear up, it's happening the February 17th through the 20th. And I believe if you go to MarthaNorwalk.com and current events, you'll find a link to connect with the Great Backyard Bird Count. And I'll have more info about that coming up as the details come out. So there we go. Now, So we don't have a lot of time left, you guys. So, Nathan, did you have some other stuff about Chewy you wanted to talk about?
I'm just kind of reading through all this, and I'm just noting there's really no indication of any action at all. I mean, there's a lot of missing information, naturally, from this email, but the person never indicates any steps or actions they took. The only thing that I really
you mean
see,
to correct the behavior,
yeah, to correct,
right. Yeah, that's missing. We don't know where they may not have done anything, but then there might have been training or whatever. She just mentions the one trainer that did the assessment.
Yeah, and even
but it
then,
doesn't sound like they've done much.
That's
does
not
it?
Any correctional action at all either. All they right, just said right. is like, oh, this is happening because.
Yeah. So we
this.
Put the dog yeah. in the bedroom so he doesn't bite anybody, and we just let him harass the cats and scare the you-know-what out of the one.
Yeah.
That, to me, is not a solution.
There's no action. There's only disaction, if that makes yeah. any sense.
But we could be wrong. We might be misinterpreting it, because there could be a whole lot that Kathy left out.
Yeah.
Which hopefully Kathy will either have been listening today, or she'll listen to the audio archive of what's going on, and then Kathy can be in touch with you, Walter, and let us know, does she want us to get more involved with this? Would she like to join us on the air next, so we could, would she like to communicate with us now off the air for a while and give us some more details and so forth, and then we could bring her on the air with us next time or something. But, you know, this, we're just kind of flying, we're making a lot of assumptions that may be incorrect. You know, we might be correct, but we just don't know. So we kind of had to do what we did. And hopefully that all made sense, you know, or will make sense to Kathy when she hears it. But from my perspective and just seeing this whole thing, I'm not like, oh, this is like the worst case in the world. And Lance's case, Walter, is one of those OMG, you know, once in a lifetime, horrible, horrible situations. That isn't what this is. I see a variation on this behavior profile all the time. All the time. Okay. Lots of different breeds, lots of different ages, lots of back histories and stories. And sometimes there's a lot of back history and story, and sometimes there isn't. But I see this often. But the good news is, especially when they're close and, you know, here, so that I can work with people in person and get in there. These are the kind of cases that make people think I walk on water, because I can bring things under control so quickly. Now, it doesn't mean we're done. I mean, they have to follow through and generalize behavior and stuff, but we can really cut out the barking and the lunging can be done the day that I'm there, because those things are really pretty easy to fix when you know what to do. So it'll be real interesting to see how Kathy receives this, and if she's interested in working with us further and getting this resolved with Chewy. And who knows? I mean, maybe there isn't a lot of training help available for her around the area she's in. And maybe what, you know, if she's got only all positive training classes going on, she could go from now till the cows come home, and they'll never solve the problem with Chewy, because he's got to be told his behavior's wrong and he's got to be forced to learn some impulse control. But as soon as he does that, I mean, you know, Peaks can be pretty sharp little dogs, and one that's taken on the world like this, you know, has a lot of fear, but we can work on that as well. So anything else along the lines here with Chewy, I think?
I will definitely follow up with Kathy and get right back to you.
Okay, that sounds good. And then you have more questions and stuff from your people, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm thinking the next show we do, we could, depending on what shakes out with Kathy and Chewy, we could pick up again with them and have her on the air with us, and we could work through this. Or I really want to have time to, you know, break down Lance's case and, you know, what was available, what could we have done when you actually had him, but also what could we do for a dog like that now? Cause we have a lot, you know, a lot more we could do now than we could have 20 years ago. And I think it was right about 20 years ago that Lance was in your life and you were dealing with this stuff. I think that's when I figured it out and reading the book, it was about 2002 when this was going down. And that was just about where the things started to all come together in terms of like the Pluckner work and so forth that we haven't talked about. But, you know, even just a little bit about Lance and knowing he had such a history of neglect and horrendous abuse and beating. And I think you make the you talk about it in the book, Walter, that you had to take him to a vet at some point after you had gotten him, and they had to take x-rays or something. There was something going on, but they almost turned on you because they thought you might have been the abuser. This dog's body was so broken, so many fractures and all of that. Didn't that happen with you, that the vets thought that you might have been the one that injured this dog?
I think Martha, that's a case of, you know, no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, you rescued him and then you got blamed for all of his physical problems temporarily until they found out the story.
I had to use logic with the vet. I said, now, if I had done all this to him, you think I would have taken him to a veterinarian?
Yeah.
That was my defense.
Well, yeah, but, well, and, you know, a logical maybe assumption on the part of the vet, or at least something to check out. But in your case, yes, the evidence of him having many, many, many previously broken bones and so forth were there on the x-rays. But it didn't explain the fact that this dog was abused by another family and you were the one that saved the dog's life by rescuing him.
Right.
And now the difference in well, there are many differences between Lance and your story, Walter, and Chewy's story with his people. I mean, very different breeds, different genetics, different backgrounds. And as far as we know, Chewy's not been, you know, abused in the same physical way that Lance was. But the biggest difference in the behavior profile is that, you know, I deal with lots of dogs like Chewy that their aggression is directed at things other than the people they live with, strangers, you know, cats, dogs, all of the vehicles and so forth. But in your case, you have had a case of not only stranger and other things directed aggression, you had owner directed aggression, because Lance would bite you and Clara if provoked in the right way, correct?
Yes, and we never could quite figure out what was provoking him.
Yeah. And so that changes the picture tremendously. So that's why we need to, one of the reasons we need to break down Lance and talk about all of that, because when you got the dog biting the owners, that throws a whole nother wrench in the work. And so we have to handle it differently. So that's all we have time for today. So we're going to wrap up. Walter's going to stay in touch with his people and Kathy, and we'll see if we follow up with her. So it'll be the fourth Sunday of the next five Sunday month, which I think is maybe April, February and March, I think, are four Sundays. Next week, it is the last Sunday of January already. Oh, and hey, the sunshine is out in Monroe. I think the sunshine's probably out with you too, Nathan, but sunshine's out. Hope you get some sunshine back where you are, Walter. But anyway, next week, encore presentation. Tune in for our last healing show with Dr. Nils Rasmussen and Linda Rasmussen. If you want to hear what they're all about. And you can receive surrogate healings just by listening along and following the instructions that Linda gives when she's working with other people. And so I hope you can tune in and join that. And then I'll be back with Nathan the first Sunday of February, yikes, every fifth for shelter, rescue, sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. So be sure and stay tuned for that. And I guess that takes care of everything. So, Walter, I hope we can send some sunshine your way and you get more than just your cloudy gray skies. And Nathan, thank you so much for all of your help and especially for getting Walter on with us. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.